It's not only news, it's science breakthroughs. Tomorrow's technologies. Advanced medical techniques. It's a glimpse into the future where we discuss artificial intelligence, earth and energy, enhanced humans, future society, health and medicine, space, robots and machines. Welcome to Science Bites with Joe and Craig.
Today is Thursday, September 24, 2020. China is at the top of the news this week. According to satellite imagery and ship tracking data, China is preparing to launch its Chang'e 5 sample return mission to the moon. This mission will attempt to return around 2 kilograms of samples, the first lunar sample mission launched by any country since the early 1970s.
We touched on this in episode 16 back in July. It proves that China is still on track with its space mission. Components of the Long March 5 rocket launching the mission are on the way to the Wuchang Satellite Launch Center, where the launch will take place. The launch could take place as soon as late November.
Chang'e 5 will attempt to explore the area around the volcanic formation of the western edge of the near side of the moon. The area is expected to contain far younger geological features than the previous samples returned during the NASA Apollo mission.
Chang'e 5 will only spend half a lunar day, that is about 14 Earth days, to land and sample the lunar surface. An ascent vehicle will then lift off from the lunar surface and rendezvous with the mission's service module above. The sample will make its way back to Earth inside a return module, actually bouncing off our planet's atmosphere once to slow down before re-entry.
Keeping with the new news from China, a Beijing-based private space mining company, Origin Space, is launching its first ever space mining robot in November of this year as well.
The concept of excavating resources in space is highly controversial. Many scientists have called for the solar system to be protected from such practices, but that hasn't stopped global superpowers like the US and China from investigating ways to do so.
It may become a milestone moment in the country's efforts to make use of space resources. The robot, dubbed NEO-1, won't be mining any asteroids itself.
Its job in Earth's orbit will be to verify and demonstrate multiple functions, such as spacecraft orbital maneuvers, simulated small celestial body captures, intelligent spacecraft identification and control.
A separate optical telescope called Wan-Wang-1, nicknamed Little Hubble, will be launched sometime next year to identify suitable mining targets in space.
China isn't the only country set on taking advantage of resources in space. U.S. President Donald Trump recently signed an executive order that encourages the mining of resources on the moon and asteroids. NASA is now pursuing mission concepts to explore the possibilities of mining asteroids and lunar craters. Just last week, the agency announced that it's soliciting commercial companies to collect space resources, including moon dirt, and sell it to them.
For years, you and I have been saying this would happen. Now, suddenly, there's this major rush to get to space to mine all our riches.
Yeah, probably because almost in every episode so far, Joe, of Science Bites, we've been putting out hints of the riches that are actually out in our solar system.
Well, while countries are battling to get space for mining purposes, Russia Space Agency Chief Dmitry Rogozin called Venus a Russian planet last Tuesday at an industry exhibition in Moscow.
This unusual comment followed the recent high-profile discovery of significant sources of phosphine gas in the planet's atmosphere, a possible sign of life. So Dmitry said this at the meeting, quote, "Our country was the first and only one to successfully land on Venus," end quote. So I guess to this guy, Joe, a successful landing makes it their territory. He was referring to the country's successful explorations of Venus in the 60s, 70s, and 80s.
Researchers announced this one day before his statement that they found evidence of life in the clouds of Venus, drawing massive media attention.
That announcement, Joe, definitely turned heads. You see, to confirm that life exists in the planet's atmosphere would require us to actually go there and have a close look. A private New Zealand-based space company called Rocket Lab says it's already working on sending its own Electron rocket, a 660-pound spacecraft called Photon, on board to the planet as soon as 2023.
While the spacecraft itself will only perform a flyby of Venus, Photon will be able to release an 82-pound probe over the planet's atmosphere. As the probe's moving at 6 miles per second, is plummeting down towards the planets, it will be taking readings and sending it back to the Photon.
It will really be an amazing discovery if they discover microbial life living in the atmosphere of Venus. This is organic life, and organic life is what actually produces the phosphine gas, because you can see that in Earth's atmosphere as well. That confirmation will totally have rippling effects on our planet here.
Okay, we're going to take a quick break and we will be back.
What makes a rainbow bend? Where does the universe end? To know the world from A to Z.
Discover science and technology.
Where is the dinosaur? What's on the ocean floor? To know the world from A to Z.
Astronomy, biology.
Why is the sun so warm? What makes a winter storm? And what's a quadruped? Why is the planet Mars red? You'll find there's lots to know, and exploring as you go, to know the world from A to Z.
Discover science and technology.
A public service message from the National Science Foundation.
Welcome back. We find ourselves once again discussing the human eye. A team of researchers at the University of Melbourne, Australia, has built a bionic device that they say can restore vision to the blind through a brain implant.
The team is now preparing for what they claim will be the world's first human clinical trials of a bionic eye, and are asking for additional funding to eventually manufacture it on a global scale. It's essentially the guts of a smartphone combined with a brain-implanted microelectrodes. The project is more than 10 years in the making. It bypasses damaged optical nerves to allow signals to be transmitted from the retina to the vision center of the brain.
The system is made up of a custom-designed headgear, which includes a camera and a wireless transmitter, a processor unit takes care of the data crunching, while a set of tiles implant inside the brain deliver the signals.
If successful, the team will look to create new commercial enterprise focused on providing vision to people with untreatable blindness and movement to the arms of people paralyzed by quadriplegia, transforming their healthcare.
The news comes after Elon Musk's brain-computer interface company, Neuralink, announced it's testing its coin-size interface prototype in live pigs. The end goals are similar: to treat brain issues including blindness and paralysis.
A separate brain implant, a visual prosthetic device developed by scientists at Baylor College of Medicine in Houston, recently allowed both blind and sighted participants to quote-unquote see the shapes of letters, as detailed in a paper published in May. I find this whole thing just truly fascinating, Joe.
It is. Craig, you and I have discussed the many ways the COVID-19 pandemic would change our world. Neither of us thought about the neuroscience students would continue to learn remotely.
No, we never considered that for college students studying science, doing lab work as a part of their classes is vital to the way they learn research skills and better understand concepts from lectures.
That presented a challenge for schools that are operating remotely. So a solution to this problem seemed logical. Some biology programs are mailing brains, eyeballs, and even entire fetal pigs to their students so they can dissect them at home.
Nothing like opening a box and seeing a brain.
I know.
Like, no thanks. That sounds like something you would see on NCIS or something.
Nothing like doing it on mom's kitchen table.
Yeah, seriously. But, I mean, when you think about it, how else can students learn when they cannot go to school? At Lafayette College, neuroscience students enrolled in a physiology course recently received packages in the mail that contained preserved sheep brains, which are commonly chosen by schools due to their close resemblance to human brains. Then the students are guided over a video call as they dissected the brains. I never saw this coming, Joe.
No. Lafayette College isn't the only school mailing animal parts. Stanford Medical School mails sheep brains and pig hearts to their students in a clinical internship program.
By the way, the schools make sure the students can do the lab work safely. Everything in the package is non-toxic, and students are instructed on proper safety measures like wearing protective equipment and properly handling tools.
This is where the hologram and the VR glasses may quickly overtake the colleges. I don't know if the colleges are working on it yet, but developing a computer simulation of the professor and a virtual brain to dissect may be the future solution.
You know, Joe, that's a great idea. I do know many colleges have VR programs that are used for students to tour a campus for recruitment purposes, but taking it a step forward for teaching purposes really may be the way of the future.
I think it's going to be. You know, Craig, it may be better than teachers using Zoom or other devices. Now each student could be home, virtually sitting in a VR classroom with their teacher at the front of the class.
Yeah, I love that. Psychologically, that may help kids from feeling alone or not having friends to talk with during the day. You may really be onto something here, Joe. I really like it.
I do think that this may be a great solution. Okay, we're going to be taking a small break, and when we return, we have another bite for you.
We're building the next chapter of American exploration, returning to the moon to stay, so we can go beyond to Mars, to expand what's possible and further our understanding. The architecture for these missions is already taking shape. We will go with new systems, bold designs, and a sustainable mission. You can hear it, taste it, touch it. We are going. We are training, testing, pressing our pioneering spirit into every component, defining our resolve with every line of code, and securing our success with every welcomed partnership. This is not hypothetical. This is not about flags and footprints. This is about sustainable science and feeding forward the advance of the human spirit. Because we are the pioneers, the star sailors, the thinkers, the visionaries, the doers. And because we stand on the shoulders of giants to go farther than humanity has ever been, we will add our names to the rolls of the greatest adventurers in history. Every day, every mission, we advance this call. We are NASA. And after 60 years, we're just getting started.
Welcome back. It's true that technology changes so fast it's hard to keep up with it. Perhaps the first time in human history we are finding ourselves in a world where it's hard to know what's real and what's not, like encountering altered videos and photoshopped images on the internet.
It's rare these days that you'd visit social media and not come across some form of edited content, whether that be a simple selfie with a filter, a highly embellished meme, or a video edited to add a soundtrack or enhance certain elements.
While some forms of the media are obviously edited, other alterations may be harder to spot. You may have heard of the term deepfake in recent years. It was first used in 2017 to describe videos and images that implement deep learning algorithms to create videos and images that look real.
John F. Kennedy, Barack Obama, and Vladimir Putin have been the subjects of deepfake videos in which they appear to say and do things that they have never actually said or did.
Researchers are concerned that these doctored images and videos could present a growing security risk in the coming years. A report last week in Crime Science predicts that the deep fakes will pose the most serious security threat over the next 15 years, also with other AI-powered technologies.
I find this topic extremely troubling, Joe, because we are also in an era where conspiracy theories are believed over actual scientific facts, and where people are being brainwashed into believing things they ordinarily would have discarded. There is so much fear being pumped out of everyone's televisions, and having deep fake videos entering the realm and actually saying what people are afraid of will make it more believable to them. That scares me more than anything.
I sure do agree with that.
Yeah, it's just scary times. It's uncertain times, and AI is so new. Who knows where it's going to go? Just research, people. Yep. You have Google just research the information to make sure that what you're saying or repeating that somebody else said is actually true, because you just don't know anymore.
That's right. Well, that brings us to a close of another show. And you can find our shows on our website, MySciencePipe.com, and on all podcast platforms.
We appreciate your continued support. Joe and I have added a feedback email to our podcast description, so why not drop us some feedback so we know what you like and what you might like to see on our show. Thanks again for listening, and we will be back next week with an all-new show.